This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
At first, it feels like a giant invisible hairdryer is blowing hot air on you. But a few seconds later, you feel as though you are burning all over your skin. Welcome to the pain ray, or the heat ray, or to use the proper military term, active denial. Active denial falls into the category of non-lethal weapons. It was designed to control or subdue people in war zones and supposedly with little or no injury. It's claimed to be less harmful than batons, rubber bullets or tasers. It's basically just a super powerful microwave beam. Now, we all know that a microwave oven warms up last night's Thai takeaway leftovers by blasting it with microwaves. The food absorbs the microwaves and the energy they carry gets turned into heat. In your home, the power output of your microwave oven is about 1 kilowatt, and the microwaves usually have a frequency of around 2.45 gigahertz, which corresponds to a wavelength of around 122 millimeters. Thanks to this long wavelength, the microwaves can penetrate deeply into your food. Now, back in the late 1980s, the US military began thinking about how to use microwave energy as a non-lethal weapon. This research was done at the Air Force Research Laboratory at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The key was to use microwaves with a frequency of around 95 gigahertz, corresponding to a much shorter wavelength of around 3.2 millimeters. They also cranked up the power to around 1,000 kilowatts. These microwaves penetrated the skin to a depth of only 0.4 millimeters. Water in that thin layer of skin absorbs the microwave energy and turns it into heat. Luckily for the military, we humans have a very sensitive heat receptor in that outer layer of our skin. It's called a thermal nociceptor. From an evolutionary point of view, it's very important that we are sensitive to heat, because our skin is so fragile. You can get a very nasty full-thickness burn from water at the surprisingly low temperature of only 55 degrees C. The first version of the active denial weapon was called System O, and was delivered in the year 2000. It worked, but it was seriously overweight at 7.5 tons. The current version is lighter, but still has to be carried by a truck. It looks like a large satellite dish and produces a beam about 2 meters across and has a range of several hundred meters. It fires in repeated bursts, each about 3 to 5 seconds long. In 2012, Spencer Ackerman, a reporter for Wired magazine, volunteered at a media event to stand in the beam of the pain ray. He says, and I quote, "My shoulder and upper chest felt like they were being roasted with what can be likened to a super hot tingling feeling," unquote. Most people can stand the beam for 3 seconds or less. And then their reflexes take over and they run away. The active denial system was sent to Afghanistan in 2010, but for various reasons was never used. Raytheon, the fifth largest military contractor in the world, designed and built the active denial system and has a few smaller versions for use in prison cells, as handheld weapons, and to be fired from aircraft. As well as being large and cumbersome at the moment, another problem is that the pain ray doesn't work very well when it's raining, snowing, or whipping up a dust storm. Another problem is that it doesn't turn on instantly, like a light bulb. Instead, it takes about 16 hours to be fully operational from a cold start. Yes, you could keep it running all the time, but it would burn up a lot of fuel. The heat delivered to the skin by the pain ray depends on the power produced, the distance to the victim, and the length of time for which the power was delivered. So far, in controlled trials, it appears to be relatively safe. There have been only 8 burn injuries from the more than 11,000 volunteers who have been exposed to the beam in experimental tests. But in one of these, the power was accidentally reset to maximum, and the burns were so severe that the volunteer apparently needed skin grafts. Furthermore, a controlled trial is very different from out in the field. And what about permanent injuries? Consider an oppressive government that wants to stop a legitimate peaceful demonstration or a workers' strike. They could simply run the pain ray for 10 seconds instead of 5, causing severe burns. And what if the pain ray were used upon a crowd who simply could not leave the area because the exits were blocked? Well, in that case, you would expect that some people would be zapped by the beam several times, again causing a horrible, disfiguring roasting of the skin. And what about torture? Overly enthusiastic police officers have been known to use tasers over and over again on people who were already restrained and who posed no threat. If you leave enough time between exposures, the pain ray will cause intense pain but won't leave any marks. Will we be able to trust the authorities never to misuse the pain ray? Maybe yes, maybe no. But look on the bright side. When you're next at a peaceful, legitimate demonstration, take last night's tyre leftovers in case they pull out the pain ray.
What does it mean? Why is it so?